From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts, included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy government shutdown day, the Schumer shutdown. Now in its, what, third day? And the country seems to be going pretty well. Wow. Hello. Happy Friday. It is Open Line Friday. I love this day. This is the one day out of the week that you get to call in and you can talk about whatever is on your mind. You can read me the riot act. You can call up and say howdy do. You can say whatever is on your mind today. All you have to do is pick up your phone and give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And that gives you the open door to talk to millions of fellow conservatives and, well, some liberals across the fruited plain. So a couple of big stories that are brewing. Of course, we're watching the Schumer shutdown unfold. And as near as I can tell, folks, this is going to go on for a little while because the Republicans are not moving an inch. They are not budging here. And the Democrats don't know what to do. The Democrats are literally in a free fall, in a spiral. And the cold, hard reality, and even the New York Times got this right, even the New York Times understands that this is all going to be blamed on the Democrats. The Republicans have done nothing wrong here. And honestly, it's a brilliant strategy that Donald Trump and the Republicans came up with. And no matter which way the Democrats move, they're going to lose. As a matter of fact, most Americans say that the Democrats are, in fact, to blame. According to the White House and the White House sharing this data, this is from brand new polling from the New York Times, views on whether the Democrats should or should not shut down the government. Well, 65% say the government should not have been shut down. So this is all on the Democrats. And I say, keep it up. Chuck Schumer is terrified of the progressive radicals in his party, and especially the feminazis. And those gals are vicious. I think we should all be a little nervous of those folks, right? So Chuck Schumer tried to get up on the floor of the Senate today, and he literally tried to blame anti-Democrat party bias from the New York Times, of all places, as the problem. Take a listen.
Now, I know the leader is going to show a poll that says that Democrats will be blamed for the shutdown. There are many more polls that show Republicans are blamed. The question in that poll is biased. Biased. In the New York Times, but it's biased. If you turn the That's true. I don't always believe the New York Times. You can be sure of that. Neither do you. Okay.
Wow. Even the people. Are you kidding me? The New York Times doesn't like Democrats. Are you kidding me? No, and by the way, the only reason the New York Times is doing this is to try and shake the Democrat Party into the reality that they're completely discombobulating right now. That's the only reason they're doing this. And by the way, CNN, PMS Now, they're all doing it. PMS Now, of course, the network formerly known as MSDNC. So they all know what's going on here, and they all know that this road that the Democrats are on, and it's leading to a cliff. And instead of slamming on the brakes, you've got AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Jasmine Crockett in the car, and they're literally slamming on the gas pedal. That's what's going on here. So we will keep you updated if there are any developments. We understand there may be a vote. I think John Thune may schedule a vote today. trying to reopen the government and trying to get this continuing resolution through. And I just feel somewhat obligated to remind all of you that this continuing resolution is a steaming pile of you-know-what. But again, it's the only ride in town right now, and we're just going to continue spending money like the Democrats did. And that's why the Times and CNN and PMS Now are calling out the Democrats, because this is their spending bill. Ultimately, nothing's really changed. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go right to the phones and say hello to Bob in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Bob, you are the first caller of the day. Congratulations.
Oh, fantastic. Discuss anything on Friday. I wanted to remind everybody and mention again that we got to primary out all these rhinos. And I haven't seen the GOP actually doing very much in my area to get rid of the rhinos, especially like John Cornyn. There's been lots of advertising, thousands, millions of dollars spent on him. And then, you know, it's going to be the same thing again. After the election, they'll be wringing their hands and, well, we couldn't do anything about it. Yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Bob, I'm curious there in Texas, because you guys are going to be doing the whole redistricting and Jasmine Crockett may be out of a job. Looks like you might be able to pick up a few more Republican seats. Do you feel confident that you guys are going to be able to elect America First conservatives there in Texas?
Yes, I do. But there's still some others that we could nip in the bud and get rid of. John Cornyn is acting like some kind of a huge conservative. Of course, he voted for Obamacare, and he's gone against Trump and the conservatives along the way many different times when the count really needed. And he's not a true conservative. And they're spending millions of dollars on advertising for six, maybe 12 weeks. There's ads on TV, and you don't even know who's competing against them. We're trying to get conservatives really want to get Paxton in there to replace him.
Ken Paxton, yeah, Ken Paxton, your attorney general right now.
Right, and his term's going to be up. We're trying to get him to get in there to be the Texas state senator in the United States Congress. That would be a better situation instead of Carl Cornyn. I think there was about 35 rhinos that's in the state legislature that have been going against the state on different things, like for Islamic legislation, you know, against Islamic takeover and things like that. They just, you know, they're not really in there. They're Republicans in name only. And that's all I'm saying is that the true conservative GOP needs to work on advertising to get those people out now.
Well, it's a good thought, and I don't know how much money they've got in their coffers, and they may be holding onto that cash until we actually get closer to the midterms, and that may or may not be a good strategy, Bob, but we've got to get those candidates, and if the candidates, we've got to get good candidates, we've got to get electable candidates. And if those candidates are unknown, then they need to be advertising now to introduce themselves to the voters and to say, hey, look, here's who I am, here's my record, and here's what I'm going to do. Otherwise, you could be in a situation, and we're dealing with that in Tennessee right now with Congressman John Rose, great guy, done a great job in Congress. He's pro-Trump. Nobody knows who he is in the state of Tennessee right now. And he's running against Marsha Blackburn to be the governor. And it is a missed opportunity on his part. For whatever reason, his campaign made the decision not to introduce their candidate to the state of Tennessee, and it was a mistake. Bob, thank you for the call, and it is a great observation. Let's go to LJ, Georgia, our good buddy Joe from LJ. Joe, I know you're, as soon as I saw the stock market numbers, I knew that you were going to be calling in today.
And so are you, all three of us.
Yeah.
All three of us making money sleeping, yeah. 500 points, that's unbelievable.
It's remarkable.
No way, but...
Joe, are you there? All right,
this Todd?
Yeah, Joe. All right, let's put Joe on hold. Guys, let's get him prepared, and we'll go back to Joe. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Just to remind you what the Schumer shutdown is all about. The Democrats want $200 billion of your money to restore taxpayer funding to taxpayer-funded benefits for illegals. They want $500 million of your money for NPR and left-leaning media, and they want to add about $1.5 trillion in new partisan spending. That's what we're fighting against right now, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why the Republicans are holding their ground, and I say good for you, Republicans. Keep it up. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's more important today than ever. It's called Freedom Chat, a next-gen messaging app designed for people who still believe in privacy and free speech. The team just launched their alpha version, and it's available today on both Android and iPhone, and I'd like you to download it right now. Unlike the so-called free apps that spy on you, sell your data, Freedom Chat was built with your privacy first. Your messages are end-to-end encrypted. They're not stored on servers. Even screenshots are blocked. No tracking, no mining, no listening in. Just private communication the way it ought to be. And here's something I especially like. Freedom Chat has no ties to big tech. It's built by people that I trust, and you should too. I believe in it so much I've created my own private channel inside Freedom Chat at Todd Stearns, which you can subscribe to. That's freedomchat.com, where freedom still means something. Freedomchat.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So we're just about wrapping up our first week of occupation, as the Democrats are calling it, in Memphis, where we broadcast from. And I got to tell you, I love if this is what occupation is, I say we need more of it. It is so nice. You can actually hear the birds chirping, no gunfire. You don't hear people screaming. This is so nice. And this weekend, the weather is going to be here. My understanding is, and I'm curious to hear from our Memphis listeners, if you guys feel that it's now safe enough to get out of your homes and go and hang out, maybe go to dinner, go to a club, enjoy walking around downtown, walk along the Mississippi River. Do you feel that the hundreds of law enforcement officers that are on the streets are now making it safer in Memphis? I'm telling you, everybody is just so excited about this. As a matter of fact, there was a fella who, I love my Southernese to come out. There's a fella. And this guy said, man, we are so thankful that the National Guard is coming to Memphis. And by the way, most of them aren't even here yet, but the hundreds that are already making a difference. Listen to Cut 3, please.
Man, look here. Check this out. To the National Guard, to the FBI, to the ATF, to all the alphabet boy, man, we appreciate y'all service in the city of Memphis. Man, we appreciate this. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all getting all the criminals and the hoodlums off the street, baby. Look here, trust me. When I tell you, I speak for all the older people. Man, I speak for all the older people, and we appreciate y'all services. You understand what I'm saying? Because we sick of these young people. Hey, look here, we sick on. Hey, thank you. Thank you, National Guards.
Well, look, this is how most people feel around here. We are so thankful that President Trump is looking after our town. And we certainly are excited. I know Charlotte, North Carolina, the Fraternal Order of Police, they put out a statement yesterday begging President Trump to send the National Guard to Charlotte. And I hope they do. Dylan, I'm curious. I know you've been driving around a lot. Saying, do you guys feel safer? I mean, you and your wife, you guys like to get out? You're going to go maybe downtown this weekend?
Yeah, Todd, I was going to say, we actually are going to go downtown because it's my wife's birthday this weekend. So I'm going to treat her to a meal downtown.
Very nice. Have you got something picked out? Burger King? They got a new Chick-fil-A down there now.
It'll be a little bit nicer than Burger King or Chick-fil-A. Right. Well, but, you know, we typically wouldn't go downtown, but now I feel a little bit better about it. So
you can't go wrong with anything flame broiled.
Yes.
And you can have it your way.
It's true.
But I can understand where the missus would probably not appreciate Burger King.
Not on the birthday.
Not maybe. Even like the double whopper
you know.
I'm just saying.
Just incorporate it, maybe. Maybe after the nice
a little hors d'oeuvre, an amuse-bouche,
yeah,
as they say.
There you go.
All right, very cool. 901-260-5926. I've got to read this. People are freaking out. Some people are freaking out. And this woman posted a photograph of her little daughter, and she goes, well, I definitely thought they were coming to give me a ticket, but it turns out the Tennessee wildlife officers in uniform just wanted to give her daughter a teddy bear. How kind, right? Isn't that precious? And they're like photos of the officers giving her the teddy bear. So now the leftists are going nuts. And here's what one woman wrote. This is a grown, educated woman who wrote this, but I'm going to read it the way she wrote it. Memphis lady say she thought she was getting a ticket. Just wildlife undercover police officers was just being nice, giving her daughter teddy bears and a badge. But they do be scaring the kids when they be coming. How they coming in? Some situations, I think, was a good thing. They should be keeping toys and bears in their cars when they be making these parents walk with these babies after taking the cars and arresting parents with warrants in front of their children. I have no idea what that woman just said. But I think what she's saying is that, and people are upset now because they're pulling people over if they don't have a car tag or if they have a fake car tag, and they're saying that's not fair. Well, got to break it to you, folks. You got to obey the laws of the land. Well, still very nice they're giving the children teddy bears. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe in Ellijay. I think we got all that worked out. But, Joe, I know you're happy about the markets. It's incredible.
Todd, I am. I'm 500 points. And, you know, Trump is such a great president, great stock market. I've never seen such a great economy, a great stock market. I tell you, Trump, in my opinion, Trump's the best in history. He's got the best cabinet in history. And he's got the great Todd Starnes for him. So that's really a big thing, right?
I think it is. Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's happy days are here again. I've just never seen anything like it, Todd. I think he's the best leader in history. He's got the best cabinet. I mean, I don't know what to say except how great it is.
Yeah, look, you know, and the great irony here is that you had everybody, including a lot of Republicans, Joe, that were predicting that the tariffs were going to destroy the economy and, you know, that people would be suffering. And that is entirely the opposite right now that's happening.
It certainly is. And boy, I tell you what, I guess in Tennessee, I really like Marsha Blackburn. I think she's a great leader. But, you know, Trump is not only the best leader, in my opinion, but he's got people like Marsha Blackburn, great people in the cabinet. And you got the great Todd Starnes for him. How could it be any better, Todd?
Well, this is true. This is true, Joe. You speak truth to the culture, Joe. Look, thank you. Always fun having you call in. And you're right. It is it's a great day for the economy, and people are really, really benefiting thanks to the president's policy. So there you go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, when it comes to cell phone service, it so frustrates me. And you've got new services popping up all the time, and they promise you the world. But here's the truth. There's only one that actually stands in the gap for every American and believes that freedom is worth fighting for, and that is Patriot Mobile. Now, the good news is you can switch to Patriot Mobile today without sacrificing quality or service. Are you worried about coverage? Well, don't be, because Patriot Mobile, they use all three major U.S. networks. So if you have service in this country today, you're going to have as good or better coverage with Patriot Mobile. And if you think switching is a hassle, well, it's not. You get to keep your number, you get to keep your phone, or you can upgrade. It's up to you. Patriot Mobile has a 100% U.S.-based team that gets you activated in just minutes right from the comfort of your home. I want you to go to patriotmobile.com/Todd right now. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call them, 972-PATRIOT, and use that promo code Todd. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch. And it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketches imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. Going to be a lot of fun this weekend. We got the big football game tonight, and Dylan, little Starns, man, he's on fire.
He's on fire.
I'm telling you, it's going to be fun.
I got to see him score.
Is that right?
He's actually really good.
Yeah, he's a good football player.
He's going to be better than all of us.
Yes, that will not take much on our account.
True.
You know, it's interesting. He may be going to Ole Miss, University of Mississippi.
It would not surprise
me. So he may be playing some ball or running.
I would love that.
He's a fast for a white kid. I'm just going to tell you. Are we allowed to say that?
I think we can.
He's fast.
He's very fast.
Anyway, then you got the big festivals happening in town, big music. It's going to be a beautiful weekend across America. I'm loving it. I'm loving the law enforcement. It's nice living in a peaceful community. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on this Open Line Friday. We go to Germantown, Tennessee. Kristen listening to us on the Mighty 990. Hi, Kristen. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, you had asked for some local callers to chime in about what's happening in Memphis, and I wanted to tell you that my husband and I, for the first time in a very long time, went to Beale Street. We had a lovely dinner, and then we went to a concert after. And it is just, Todd, it has been a very long time since we have felt safe enough to even do that. So I'm feeling really hopeful about the presence of the federal agencies here, about the National Guard. And I know you have a super loyal fan base, but for those who don't know, this is really your doing, Todd. You were the one that had the conversation with President Trump and brought up Memphis. So this is you, Todd, and you deserve so much credit for this. So thank you from an entire city. We owe you an enormous debt of gratitude that we can leave our houses now and go have dinner and go watch a show.
Well, I'm happy to take gift certificates. You know, people want to thank. No, I'm just kidding. No, look, you know, it's the good Lord put me in a position where we can talk to, you know, these folks in authority. And I figure why not use the platform that the good Lord gave us? And I'm just so thankful that President Trump intervened. But Kristen, I have to imagine, again, being in this area, to know that your elected leaders could have done all of this. They could have done everything that President Trump did, from the governor all the way down to the local, officials, and nobody did anything.
Right. And it makes you wonder why not, Todd, right? So what I'm hoping is that the federal agencies will start really doing deep dives into what's actually going on in Memphis. Is there some sort of systemic corruption that is making these elected representatives not want these agencies here? I mean, from Justin Pearson to our Shelby County mayor, they are giving people advice on how to avoid being detected and where the checkpoints are going to be and how to get your affairs in order. I mean, why would they be doing this if there is not some sort of money trail or some sort of really, really deep corruption going on in this city? So I'm hoping that agencies like the FBI, which typically root out, you know, sort of white-collar crime, are going to be looking into what is going on in this city and hopefully making some arrests. of even elected leaders.
All right, you got to take me through this, Kristen. So you go downtown. Where did you guys have dinner? What kind of a show did you see?
So we went to Itabina, which is the beautiful restaurant right above the historic B.B. King's music venue. And then we walked over to the Orpheum, and we saw Branford Marsalis jazz band. And it was just so fabulous. And it just felt so great to be out of the bubble and be walking around and have this sense of hope again that we can actually start enjoying this great city of ours that has, you know, we've just been held hostage here, Todd, for so long. People are tired of it. The Democrat Party is just imploding here. We're seeing people jump ship and come over and join us in the Republican Party. They're tired of it. They're tired of the corruption. They're tired of the narrative. And people just want to live in safety and live peaceful lives.
I think you're 1,000% right there. And this is a great step in the right direction. And I'm just so happy that you guys had a great time in downtown. And I don't wish this. And one of the reasons we've talked about the situation in Memphis, I would not wish this on any other city in America. I don't think any American should not have to live in fear. And it was really serving as a warning. And now we're hearing from so many other cities saying, we're dealing with the same situation here, and nobody listens to us. Nobody cares. And this president cares. And when I heard Stephen Miller and Pam Bondi, who I've been a critic of, but man, she is right on the money here. Pete Hegseth, they mean it when they say that they're going to be going after the criminals, Kristen. And I think that's got to make all of us feel great. I'll give you the last word.
You're right, Todd. And I will tell you, I have family members from out of state that in the last several years would not come visit us because they were so concerned about their safety. That's all going to change. People are going to start coming back to Memphis. We're going to start seeing people go out again. It's going to help the economy, and it's going to help end this massive crime wave that has crippled the city and kept people hostage in their homes. I'm so grateful for this administration, for you, for Pete Hegseth, for Stephen Miller, for all of them, for helping us. We needed help. They answered the call, and now they are here, and they are making incredible change quickly.
Yes, they are. All right, Kristen, we got to leave it there. Good hearing from you, and I'm glad you guys had a great time last night. That does sound like a lot of fun. That's a great restaurant, and Marsalis Jazz, come on. I mean, that's pretty awesome. All right, take care, Kristen. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Charles, I'm just curious here. You know, the Fraternal Order of Police begging Trump to send the National Guard to the Queen City next.
Well, Todd, you're the first person that's made that statement, but I hope it's true because we definitely need them here in Charlotte. Downtown Charlotte's just a crime fest. I live up here on Lake Norman, but people are very reluctant to go down there downtown on the weekend, especially at night. So they need some help. And also, they're moving up this way. There's a lot of Section 8 housing that's being built up here, and it's just going to not only create a lot more traffic, but a lot more crime. But I hope he brings the guard in. I really do. But Todd, what I wanted to talk about illegal aliens and healthcare. So I had a thought this morning. I wanted to get your take on it, okay? I Googled that there's about 6,120 hospitals in the United States. And we all know that illegal aliens are using, they're getting free healthcare when, you know, they go to the hospitals because that's their primary care. But how about if we were to position ICE agents at every single one of these hospitals, and when illegals came in to get medical treatment, you treat them, and then you promptly deport them. And if you did that, that way they're coming to us instead of us taking the risk and going after them. Doesn't mean we stop doing that, but it's like making the fish come to you instead of you chasing a fish.
Yeah, look, I love this idea, and I've been pretty black and white when it comes to illegals. They all have to go. I don't care how nice they are. I don't even look. It may be a pastor. It doesn't matter. If you're here illegally, you got to go back to where you came from and come back here legally. And I think, you know, again, stationing them at schools and hospitals and other places where we know the illegals are going to show up, Home Depot, I got no problem with that, Charles.
Well, and you mentioned, Todd, one time, I forgot how many thousands per day we're going to have to deport in order to get them all out of here. And right now, that rate of deportation is extremely slow. I mean, I know they're doing a lot, but it's still, they're overwhelmed. But in my opinion, if you were to put these ICE agents at hospitals and Home Depot and schools, I just think he would rapidly increase the rate of deportations. And also, I think he would increase the rate of self-deportations. You know, measures like that, and then, you know, fining these employers who are hiring these illegals. If you hit them in the wallet, you know, with every single one that they hired, I don't think it would take too long to get many of these people to self-deport and make this country a lot safer.
And maybe not. But Charles, I have to correct you, my friend. And this is rare because you're one of our regulars. You're one of our beloved callers, Charles. But do not doubt me, sir, when I provide facts and information. This is from WBT News. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Fraternal Order of Police has written a letter to Mayor Lyles, Governor Josh Stein, and President Trump asking for the National Guard to come to Charlotte due to severe police staff shortages and unprecedented violent crime in Uptown. So there you have it. I hope they do come to town, Charles. I really do.
Oh, I do too. And if they do, we'll be down there to welcome them with American flags and everything. Give them a little bit. We'll give them a parade.
Yeah. Well, if you guys had decent barbecue there, you should do barbecue. But we know you don't, and it's no offense. It's North Carolina, and being in Tennessee.
Well, let me correct you there. We have some really good barbecue, especially right here in St. Philip, the Little Pigs too. And next time you're coming through, Todd, on Staple, yeah, hit me up, and I can meet you for a cup of coffee or a bite to eat.
Yeah, forget the coffee. I want the food. Yeah, barbecue.
Okay. But hey, I didn't know your young Starnes was an accomplished football player, and I didn't know he was that fast. But maybe you guys should nickname him White Lightning. Put White that on
shirt. You think Caden would go for that? It's Dylan shaking his head. Yes. Will, you know, I'll pass that along. I think he's actually, you know, he's super conservative, and he showed up at one of the Charlie Kirk vigils with, and he brought a lot of his buddies with him on the football team. So he's a rock solid conservative, that kid.
That is awesome. And Todd, right here in Davidson at Davidson College, which is a bastion of liberalism, there is now a TPUSA chapter that is open.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes. There's a chapter that just opened, and they have a new newspaper as well, a conservative newspaper. So it's a step in the right direction, and I'm looking to volunteer my time and do what I can to maybe help mentor some of these kids and give them some talking points and some air support so they can stand up for the radical left.
Charles, you're a good man, and I think that's a terrific idea. Got to leave it there, my friend. Good hearing from you. And again, our telephone number, open line Friday, 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, let's go right to the phones. Stephen in Morehead City, North Carolina, wants to talk about barbecue. Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, first of all, I am one of the original despicable Americans. Your book, which you gave a signed copy to me many years ago, That thing is dog-eared because I keep passing her around.
Is that right?
Yes, and I say, all I ask is you bring it back. But what they've done is they'll write comments on the inside. And one day we're going to get together and I'm going to show it to you because you need to see this. But let's talk barbecue. I grew up in High Point, North Carolina. And my mom worked at the Big Bear. And next door was Kepley's Barbecue, right there on Main Street in High Point. And that was the best barbecue you ever had in your life. I mean, that was good barbecue.
Now, what is good barbecue for you in North Carolina?
Well, other states, well, you could throw an umbrella on a grill and they call that a barbecue. That's not barbecue. A barbecue is pork. And it's I've had the grunt meat blues all my life because Mama would drop us off at Kepley's, my younger brother and myself. She'd go to work next door at the Big Bear, and we had our own little corner back there, and we'd sit there and we'd eat barbecue. And sadly, after 80 years, they closed a couple of years back, and that hurt. But I heard somebody say, well, there's no good barbecue around it, and that is not true. If you go to Greensboro, North Carolina, there's a place called Stamey's, and there's two of them. But the one you want to go to is directly across the street from the Greensboro Coliseum. And you'll see the stack of hickory wood, and you'll see the smoke, and you'll smell it a mile before you get
there. Wait. You said hickory wood? Did you say hickory wood, Stephen?
I say, sir.
All right. Well, okay. So I'm somewhat hopeful now. Okay.
That is, I'm not kidding you, that is as good as it gets. And they've been doing it for years and years and years. And that's the thing is, at Kepley's, they babysitted us. We basically stayed there until Mom got off work. But when they, and we would go to Stamey's, that was really special to us.
Stamey's. All right. Well, I'm writing this down here, Stephen. Stamey's, best barbecue in the Greensboro area. So we will add that to our list. And you know what? It's Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to do what Stephen just did and provide a name of a great barbecue joint in your neck of the woods, I'm going to let you do that. Give him a shout-out. But I got to give a shout-out to our buddy Jeff Stein. He took me to a place in Cedar Falls, Iowa. It's called Bigfoot Betty's. And I don't know, Dylan, I don't know how big Betty's feet are. That doesn't matter. But they are known to have the best tenderloin sandwich in the Midwest. They deep fry the pork tenderloin, and it's kind of like country fried steak. And I'm telling you, it had to have been a pound of meat on that little bun. It was unbelievable. Bigfoot Betty's. If you're ever in Cedar Falls, you got to go check it out. 901-260-5926. Hey, I want to remind you, we are soft launching a big effort here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show and Stearns Media Group. We are creating a foundation that will support conservative journalism and Christian journalism, and we're going to be hiring new reporters and additional staffing. But the only way we can do that is through your help, and we're giving you an opportunity to donate to the Todd Stearns Show so we can hire more staffing and we can grow our digital platform as well as this radio program. And I want you to go to our website, toddstearns.com, during the break coming up. Go to toddstearns.com and you'll see a big headline that says how you can partner with the Todd Stearns Show. And one of the ways that you can do that is by donating either monthly or one-time gift. Whatever you want to donate, we would greatly appreciate, whether it's $5 or $25, $50, $100, whatever you can donate, we would greatly appreciate. And all of that money is going to a foundation that will end up hiring more journalists for the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Came up with the idea when I realized that a lot of the far-left news organizations have been doing this for years, and that's how they've been able to hire a lot of their staffing. And so what better way to give conservatives and Christians across America an opportunity to partner with a platform that is going to be fair and balanced and provide news and information from a Christian worldview? So, again, head over to the website, toddstearns.com, and you say, Todd, are you going to bug us with emails? No, not at all. It's you give a gift, and that's it. We say thank you, and we move on with our lives. So we don't like We don't want to spam you with all sorts of that kind of stuff. We don't do that kind of stuff. So, again, go to toddstearns.com, and you can donate. And we even have we have an other button. So if you want to give more or less, or the dollar amount is not there that you want to give, you can click on that. And we make it super simple. You will literally be able to donate in under 2 minutes. It's that easy. And every single gift that you provide us will go to hire Christian and conservative journalists for the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, hour two coming up, and we've got some great guests. Joe Messina is going to drop by. Also, the director of a new movie from CBN Films called The Oracles of God. We're going to talk to the director of that film coming up in just a little while. Plus your calls. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I am so thrilled for Memphis that Trump has come in and is helping your streets to be safe again. That is fantastic. I do have one question, though. How long are they going to be there, and what happens after they leave? Thanks for all you do, Todd. You're the bomb. I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you very much there. That's Debbie giving us a shout-out on our app. By the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is Open Line Friday. That means you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind today. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Of course, Debbie has downloaded our app, and that means that she's able to send us a shout-out. You say, well, how can I do that? It's very simple. All you have to do is go to toddstearns.com and click on the app button, and you can download the app. It takes like, 20 seconds max, and you'll be able to listen to the show, and you'll also be able to send us messages. Many of you are at work, you're in class, in school, and you're unable to pick up the phone and call. So you can actually leave us a shout-out there. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. There is a big governor's race happening in Virginia, and we have been covering that, and it is going to be wild. And I really hope that the Republicans are going to be able to pull off a victory there with Winsome Sears. John Reed in the throes of controversy, running for lieutenant governor. And we'll get into more of that a little bit later on. But there's also a huge race for the governor's mansion in Tennessee. Marsha Blackburn, Congressman John Rose going at it, and there is now a third candidate in the race. He is a state lawmaker, and he joins us in studio here in Memphis, Monty Fritz. Monty, good to have you with us today.
Good morning, Todd. It's good to be in Liberty University Studios as a flame. And both my children are Liberty graduates. That sounds good to hear it on my ears. So it's good to be here.
They've been a longtime partner, I think, for the past 5 years that we partnered with Liberty, and we love those good people. And you have been really all over the city. And one of the things I really appreciated about you is, yes, Memphis is a war zone, but you went to the front lines, and you were in some communities that have really been ravaged by crime. And I'm just curious, what did you see and what did the locals tell you?
I was down off Sim Street yesterday meeting with folks that live there in Orange Mount, and they were wonderfully warm to me. And I think that's what leaders do, Todd. Leaders go to where the problems are and they assess for themselves. And I think we've been deficit in that in Tennessee. And so everybody I talked to had concerns about crime, failing education, utility bills. One dear lady, Miss Dolores, had paid $652 for her utility bill the previous month, and she's on fixed income.
What?
That's what she told me, $652. Yes, sir. And part of that's brought on by the fact that we've allowed our generating capacity to diminish in Tennessee, and we have to buy more kilowatts off the economy. One out of four kilowatts in Tennessee come from outside the state of Tennessee. I set up the energy policy in Tennessee a couple of years ago and restructured the Energy Policy Council. We're trying to fix that.
And of course, you also worked in the Trump administration as well in the first term.
I did, yes, sir. I was offered a non-competitive appointment, not a Senate confirmed, but I was federal program manager for material recovery and recycle, and then I set up the Office of Stockpile Production Integration under Trump 45.
So you clearly are a Trump supporter, and I'm curious your thoughts about the president announcing that he, you know, was going to send the National Guard to Memphis, and the president also sending the National Guard to other cities that have been war-torn by these Democrat policies.
Yes, sir. The blue state policy, blue city policies are failing. They overload their citizens with propagandas and lies. I heard from a couple folks yesterday that open carry had caused the problems in Memphis. That is not, and you know that's the case. I think that it's what I like best about Donald Trump is he's not afraid to act. And thankfully he did that. I think it's a crying shame that we in Nashville were reluctant for years. I think you have to ask a simple question, Todd. Is it a criminal rebellion in Memphis or is it not? And if it is, I think the governor has a responsibility to act and help restore law and order. And to send guardsmen to Memphis unarmed is unacceptable, in Monty's opinion.
It's absolutely unacceptable. Quite frankly, everybody here, if you're law-abiding, should be armed because there's a good chance you may come face-to-face with a carjacker.
Well, it's true, Todd. And I'll tell you the first thing I think we need to do to restore safety on the streets in Tennessee, and it's all of Tennessee, not just Memphis, not just Shelby County, but Roane County, Loudoun County. The Nashville establishment is attacking your firearms rights today. And this Hughes v. Lee lawsuit in the appeal where they're going to spend more of the Tennessee taxpayers' dollars to continue to apply a Jim Crow law on Tennesseans, the intent to go armed, that a three-judge panel ruled unconstitutional. And to oppose that and want to perpetuate Jim Crow law is it leaves a stench on those men in Nashville that are doing that.
So I'm a proud member of the Gun Owners of America and spoke at their convention in Knoxville, their national convention, and it's really exciting to see the growth of that group. But there were a lot of concerns about Republican leadership here in Tennessee going after the rights of law-abiding gun owners. If you could explain for our national audience, because they may be in the same situation in their states with their Republican leadership as well, what are the Republicans doing here? How are they targeting gun owners?
Well, first, in this Hughes v. Lee, the appeal by the governor and the attorney general of the state of Tennessee, we as Americans believe that we're innocent until proven guilty. But because of this 154-year-old intent to go armed language, you and I as gun owners are criminals until we can use other law to defend ourselves as innocent. And that's unacceptable. And what we have done is created a reluctance for the citizen, the law-abiding citizen, to defend themselves. Well, that brings on the predatory attacks. And if indeed there is, and I think there is, based on what I heard in Orange Mound yesterday, a criminal rebellion in Memphis, we're only exacerbating that by discouraging Tennesseans from arming themselves. This is the patron state of shooting stuff, and I know that sounds country boy to come out, but we should not allow this. And so, unfortunately, I've been in the General Assembly for 3 years. We've tried legislatively to take that language out, to remove this foolish 1989 law that you can't possess a long gun except under certain conditions. But I will just tell you, the Nashville establishment, they're okay traveling about the state with armed guards to protect them, but they don't want you to defend yourself.
I've noticed that. By the way, the mayor of Memphis has a full security detail and lives in a gated community. Most Memphians don't have that luxury.
Can I just offer this, Todd? I think I'm going to win this election. I know that surprises some people, but I think that most of us Tennesseans have had it up to our nose holes with lying politicians, who career politicians, who infringe upon our rights, take more of our money, our budget's out of control in Tennessee, and they walk about with armed guards. I don't think the governor of Tennessee needs six men around him to protect him. I don't think that. I'll drive myself. I'll interface with people in Tennessee as governor, just like I did the good folks in Orange Mound yesterday.
So you've got two other folks running, and Marsha Blackburn, according to the polling data, looks like this is hers, right? You've got Congressman John Rose. I don't understand the strategy there, but he's got a lot of money and not spending a lot of it, not getting to know people, you know, in parts of the state where he might be unknown. So I'm kind of surprised I have to push back a little bit. What makes you think you can win this thing? Well, everybody knows Marcia.
They do. They do know Marcia. And I appreciate those people's service. But I would remind folks that the national debt under the time that Senator Blackburn has been in Congress has gone from $6.8 trillion at the end of 2024 to over $55 trillion. She's been a part of that problem. Our budget in Tennessee has gone from a request in 2019 of $37.5 trillion to the request this year of $59.5 trillion, 59% increase. If we think we can stand more D.C. and Nashville, I'm probably not your guy. If you want somebody to get a hold of the budget, stand up for the people of Tennesseans, all Tennesseans, I think I'm going to get lots of looks on this. And Congressman Rowe, super, super nice guy. And I understand that he said he was going to spend $20, $25 million. I appreciate that he's got that to spend. But I will tell you, I bet my new friends in Orange Mound and my friends in Rome County, when they hear that, they think, why would anybody spend that much money to buy an election?
It's a great question, actually. And again, I commend you because I think you are the only candidate who has actually been boots on the ground visiting the actual citizens of Orange Mound who also happen to be voters in this state.
And they're Tennesseans. And they're Tennesseans just like the VFW folks I just met with out in Collierville this morning. And I think that the part of what I want to do is recalibrate Nashville. I want to get the budget under control and leave more money in your pocket, Todd, and all Tennesseans' pockets. I want to recalibrate Nashville, Tennessee, to understand that they work for us and under the authority of the Constitution, period. And they've forgotten that.
I'm curious your thoughts on the culture war issues. That there's been a lot of debate within the Republican Party and the platform whether or not we should be a staunchly pro-life party, whether or not we should be talking about things like traditional marriage and God. What say you're smiling here? What say you?
Yeah, I think we still fall under the authority of that Almighty God that's mentioned in Article 1, Section 3 of the Tennessee Constitution. And I think that legislation that I pass that a person cannot be forced to solemnize a marriage is important. I think that the marriage between a man and woman is what God designed. And 9 black robe judges cannot redefine that to something that is really an abomination in God's eyes. And I think that pro-life, our Tennessee Republican Party guiding principles is very clear that life begins at conception. We've allowed a little too much D.C. in that, and the D.C. folks that have come into Nashville now want to change that to some nebulous when the baby can survive or what is a late-term abortion type thing. I think God sees that innocent blood flowing in the streets of America. I think we're going to be judged for it, and I think that we should repent.
Monty Fritz joining us, wanting to be the next governor of the state of Tennessee, and he's going to have some competition. Marcia Blackburn, also John Rose running, a congressman running. And really, I mean, we are a super majority red state. So ultimately, whoever wins the primary is going to be the next governor of the state of Tennessee. And if that is you, I'm curious if this crime problem is still going on in Memphis, how do you as the governor address that? And where is that on your list of priorities?
It's high on my priority for all Tennesseans that we should not allow the disruptive criminal rebellion to take place in many of these blue cities because we have adopted Marxist ideologies in the leadership in these places. And more than my disappointment that our governor and governors, once before Governor Lee, have not acted to help restore law and order to Memphis and to Nashville is problematic for me. We should do that. We have an obligation to help restore law and order, but we also have an obligation to investigate the corruption that has led to that.
1,000%.
And stop talking about removing this person or that person, and let's do it. And let's look at what is wrong in the judicial and the prosecutorial field and the law enforcement field. I suspect we have lots of good Memphis police officers that feel abandoned, that they go make the arrest, and the next day this criminal person's out on the street. We have to fix that. If we don't fix the corruption, then it's just going to come back.
Well, and the issue there is in the Tennessee House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House, Cameron Sexton, standing in the way of doing something about our George Soros District Attorney, Steve Mulroy, who Pam Bondi is clearly focusing on right now.
Yes, and I appreciate Pam Bondi focusing on that. But I'll be honest with you. Many of the leadership in the Republican Party, I'm so Republican I squeak, Todd. But much of the Republican leadership has failed to act on that first thing we must do. We must first ensure the right of the individual to protect themselves. And so while Governor Lee and General Scrimeti have gone after your rights with this Hughes v. Lee appeal, many of the leadership have sat timidly silent and not said anything. And I think that's not going to wear well with them in history. They should be ashamed of themselves, and they should speak up for the rights of Tennesseans.
Where can people go, Monty, if they want to get more information about your campaign?
Fritz, the number 4, TN.com. Fritz for TN.com.
All right. Well, good luck to you. And I know this won't be the last time you're in this area, but when you do get here, drop by. You have an open invitation.
Thank you, Todd. Go Flames.
All right. Monty Fritz, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty University grad, Trump alum, running for governor of Tennessee. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Yeah, I like that guy, Monty Fritz. Good fellow there, Liberty University grad. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Lou in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Lou, what's on your mind?
Hi, sir. Didn't you say you was going to feed the troops that might come in there?
Yes, sir. We reached out to the White House and said we would be honored if we could feed the troops, and they are working out the details even as we speak.
You remember January 6th, they had those troops go in that parking deck. You remember they got sick?
Yes, sir, I remember that.
Yeah, that was my son was one of those guys. You know, he's in the National Guard.
Is that right?
You know, I was going to tell you, because you don't know where these guys have been. I mean, they're our heroes. You remember in that movie Sniper? You know,
I do remember that movie.
All right, you remember those guys going in that building and stuff like that, searching? That was my boy. He was one of the ones going in the building with the guns, you know, seeing if anybody was in the building, and the sniper was over here or where, trying to protect them. You know, he's seen a lot. And so these troops, guys, are our heroes. And so I'm glad that y'all respecting them, you know, and gonna, you know, give them something to eat and welcome there to Memphis. You know, I just want to tell you thank you.
Well, Lou, I appreciate that. Now tell me about your boy. What branch of the military does he serve in? How long has he been in?
He was in the National Guard, but he got in there like right to 2003, I guess. You know, he was in there 20 years.
Wow.
And right after, he's been out for like 2 years now.
Okay.
And right. I don't want to call his name out. I mean, you know, this ain't even my real name.
Sure.
Because I'm scared, you know, because we don't know who's in our country, you know, and because he was in Afghanistan and Iraq, both. And he seen his buddies get killed. You know, he was in a Hummer, and when they did, there was in a convoy. When they did, the Jeep in front of him hit a roadside bomb, killed everybody inside. So him and his, you know, they got out of their Jeep. When they did, his buddy falls down beside him in a pool of blood. He jumps back in the Hummer, and bullets starts hitting it. And when he did, there was somebody was shooting out of the building. So I had to call Apache helicopter in to kill that person. Then they had to hook up to that Hummer
Wow.
with the dead people in it and pull it to the base.
But your son's okay.
Yeah.
Good.
But, you know.
Good.
But you just don't know what those guys have come through.
No, you're absolutely right, which is one of the reasons why we want, you know, to be able to honor them. And I will tell you, Lou, you would be so proud of the good people of Memphis. They're opening up their restaurants and their churches. Their businesses, small businesses, and these guys are going to be treated like heroes wherever they go because they are. They are heroes, and Lou, your son, is one of those heroes. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926, our number. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com right now. Make a donation and help our effort to support conservative Christian journalism in America. We'll be right back, everybody.
Despite the Democrat shutdown, President Trump's efforts to make America safe again continue. President Trump believes that American cities should be the safest places on earth, and he is committed to making this a reality. We've already seen that President Trump successfully made D.C. safe again in only a few weeks. That same crime crackdown will continue to happen in cities across the country and is happening in Portland, Oregon. President Trump will end the radical left's reign of terror in Portland once and for all. The president has directed Secretary Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland and any ICE facilities under siege from attack by Antifa and other left-wing domestic terrorists. What's been allowed to happen in Portland, and we saw disturbing video footage of this last night, this is not peaceful protesting. This is left-wing anarchy that has been destroying this great American city for years, leaving police officers battered, citizens terrorized, and business properties damaged. Since early June alone, Antifa terrorists have laid siege to the ICE field office in South Portland. These radical left-wing lunatics have violently breached the ICE facility by using a stop sign as a battering ram, hurled explosives and other projectiles at law enforcement, repeatedly assault and dox officers, berate their law-abiding neighbors, and have even rolled out a guillotine in front of the ICE facility. And more people should be reporting on that. President Trump has sent federal law enforcement to protect federal assets and arrest those fueling this violence. Just last night, we saw an extremely troubling incident where conservative journalist Nick Sorter was captured on video being taken into custody by the Portland police after he was ambushed by Antifa and was defending himself from these assaults. But instead of arresting these violent mob members night after night after night, who are ravaging this community, the police arrested a journalist who was there trying to document the chaos, and everyone in this room should be extremely concerned about that. The Department of Justice spoke with that journalist this morning, and they will be launching a full investigation into his arrest. This incident is part of a troubling trend in Portland where left-wing mobs believe they get to decide who can visit and live in their city. It is not their city. It is the American people's city, and President Trump is going to restore that.
Yeah, this is just unacceptable, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Oregon who are just disgusted by what's been happening in Portland. That was Caroline Leavitt just minutes ago at the White House press briefing. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend, national radio host Joe Messina out in California. Joe, good to have you with us. You just heard Caroline Leavitt laying it all out there, and this attack and the arrest on Nick Sorter, the conservative journalist, really concerns me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Todd. I loved her line, by the way, war-ravaged Portland. That was a great line. But even if you saw the troops going in Oregon, did you see the clip of the people welcoming them in, you know, thanking them for being there and that kind of stuff? This tells me that they're in real trouble. They see the trouble that they have. But I don't want to sound like the rest of media, but this seems to be in the DNA of the Democrat Party, right? Let's support illegal aliens. Let's support crime. Let's support people on the left doing the wrong thing and being violent. And if somebody on the right even calls it out or speaks to it, they need to go to jail or a re-education camp. This is not going to stop anytime soon till we the people, and I'm not talking about violence, Todd, but until we the people stand up, get involved, vote the right people in, and then hold those people's feet to the fire.
I mean, there are so many things that are wrong in places like Portland and again, Memphis, and we've been talking about both cities a lot lately, and Chicago, all run by radical Democrats and city councils that have basically defunded and handcuffed the police departments. Were they not able to go in there and do their jobs and round up these very bad elements?
You know, I think this is interesting. When you talk about, just talk about D.C. for a second. So they go in there with the National Guard. They clean the place up. Crime is down to almost zero. When he pulls them out at some point in time or when they leave, how is the Democrats going to explain that their plan works when crime skyrockets again? Because that's what's going to happen. But I love how Trump is going in there saying, we're protecting federal buildings. We're protecting federal assets. Last night in Portland, where were the police? I mean, truly, where were they in supporting and helping the federal troops? Now what we've got is we've got law enforcement officials now, you know, put together with or put against other law enforcement officials. This is not going to end well.
Well, I remember for years I would vacation in Southern California, just love that area. Shutters by the beach, you know, my go-to place. And I haven't been there in years because the entire area around there is, it's almost like a dystopian third world country with the drug addicts and the homeless people. And people, oh, yeah. There were reports a couple of years ago of folks, they were getting stuck by dirty needles that were left in the sand on the beach, Joe. Am I exaggerating here?
No, no, no. They reported it, and it was actually happening. Look, you've got you're right. You've got pimps on the beach now. You have drug people on the beach. A couple of weeks ago, the famous Santa Monica Pier was taken over by a bunch of people with Palestinian flags. I don't know if you remember Sheriff Villanueva, who's running again for sheriff in L.A. So apparently he was talking to his legal team at one point when he was sheriff, and he said, look, how do we help? Is there a way we can help clean up the beach? And his legal team said, well, the beaches are in L.A. County. Even though they're L.A. City, you have the authority to go in there and clean up. And when he went in there, he cleaned that place up, and guess what? L.A. County Board of Supervisors were extremely upset with him for going in an L.A. City property instead of saying, hey, thank you. Thank you for getting the drug addicts and the drug pushers and the pimps off the street there. We've got a mindset, Todd, that just really is so scary here in Los Angeles. Oh, across the country.
Joe Messina joining us from Southern California. And, Joe, I want to revisit Portland for just a moment. So the president announcing today that they have deployed National Guard. They're sending troops to Portland. And now you've got the governor and you've got the attorney general who has filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration. And I just don't get it. And I'm just wondering for our Oregon listeners, are things peaceful there? Because if you listen to the governor and the Democrats, Portland is just this utopia. But I don't know. I'm looking at the video, Joe, and it looks pretty bad to me.
You know, Todd, you and I do this 5 days a week. We do this every day of the week. And pulling stories together and pulling information together. When you see the clips from Portland, when you see what's being written by conservatives, and, you know, really, the left-wing media should be totally ashamed of themselves, but you have to have integrity to be ashamed of yourself. So you're seeing what's happening there. You're seeing firsthand from these reporters what's going on. And maybe it's in their DNA. I don't know. I don't know what is it that they can look at somebody shooting up, falling over dead. They can look at human excrement in the street. They can look at all these tents there where people living in the streets and some people beating each other up and go, yeah, we're good. This is great. This is utopia, right? This is the way it's supposed to look. Is it pride, Todd? I mean, if they admit to failure, if they let Trump in there to help out, they've just admitted to failure and that he's right and they're wrong. And I think they, as you see across the country, I think the people in the elected officials in Portland are going, no, we can't admit to this, no matter how much damage it does to our streets.
Oh, I've got to share this story with you. This is out of California, your neck of the woods. These are your people we're about to talk about. what are you saying a song for? Yeah, wait. So there's a coffee house and a cafe. It's called the Invita Cafe. In Rancho Santa Fe, California. That's, I think, near San Diego. Pardon me, San Diego. It means whale's vagina. Well, that's what it said on Anchorman. Dylan's shaking. Why are you shaking your head, Dylan?
I forgot about that. But it's true.
It's true. Look it up. So anyway, we're not talking about whale vaginas. We're talking about Invita Cafe. So these radical leftists tried to shut down the coffee shop because the owner, a lovely lady, and she's a young businesswoman by the name of Sarah DeLuca. After Charlie was assassinated, she put stickers on every coffee cup thanking Charlie for his life and legacy. And so the leftists went nuts. They started attacking her, leaving nasty threats, prank phone calls. They had to shut down the Google and Yelp pages because of all the one-star reviews. And so that's when her church family interceded. And then they have been flooded with what she called righteous people who are defending her business and Charlie. And get this, Joe, sales are up more than 300% right now. Unbelievable.
God bless those people. You know, in California, I don't know, you know, tell Dylan to Google MAGA dentist, all right? We had the same issue with a dentist up here in my neck of the woods who told a joke about Democrats. At a Republican event, somebody got a hold of it and played it, And it's created all kinds of aggravation for her. She had 5,000 to 6,000 phone calls, you know, going into her voicemail, all kinds of garbage going on. But then you know what happened? The MAGA people stepped up. She's getting new clients and all of that. So maybe we're catching on. Maybe we're willing now to get out there, fight, and push, because this craziness is not going to stop anytime soon.
You know, I think I met her at, you know, when I was speaking in Santa Clarita. Yeah.
Yep.
The dentist. We were, I was at her table. We were literally, we were seated next to each other at the dinner.
Yep.
Great lady.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Yeah, she is.
All right. Joe Messina, never a dull moment in California or Oregon.
No. All the West Coast. That's why they call it the left. I lost my power this week again here in northern Venezuela. It's great. Wonderful living
northern
in California.
Northern Venezuela. Oh, jeez, Alou. All right, Messina, we'll let you get back to it, my friend. Good hearing from you.
God bless, guys.
All right. Wow. There you go. He called California northern Venezuela. Gotta love Messina. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Crazy story out of Euless, Texas. Are you familiar with Euless? So they've been overrun by Muslims, and there were three Muslim activists. They call them activists. I call them terrorists, and they vandalized a Christian church there in the Euless area, Uncommon Church. I want you to listen to the local news report.
Walls are clean now, but a year ago, this church in Euless is where prosecutors say a late-night act of graffiti crossed the line into a hate crime. Three Muslim activists face felony charges, one of them Afshin Khan, surrounded by dozens of supporters and her attorney Monday.
It is a case that is placing our First Amendment rights and our sense of justice on trial.
Sources tell WFAA that on March 7th, 2024, exterior security cameras at Uncommon Church in Euless captured footage of the accused in the parking lot. Then the three are allegedly caught on camera spray painting anti-Israel graffiti that included profanity on this section of the brick wall at the church. Khan's indictment says she intentionally selected the victim, meaning the church, because of religion. That elevated the charges to a hate crime, which could mean tougher penalties if convicted.
I think that protest, graffiti, that sort of thing is the language of folks who are unheard. And so, and my heart went out to them.
Khan's trial is set for September 30th. Jury selection started Monday for co-defendant Rana Alam, despite demands from advocates, including CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations.
We demand that the charges be dropped immediately.
Tarrant County District Attorney Phil Searles responded saying, CARE is an advocacy group, not a law enforcement agency. Their mission is to push their agenda. Our mission is to uphold the law, and that's what we'll do. And that includes the DA's decision to upgrade the trio's original misdemeanor charges to a felony hate crime.
Our elected DA, Phil Searles. And he's doing it for the same reason that overdramatic prosecutions always happen, to scare people.
If convicted, both Khan and Alam face up to 10 years behind bars.
All right, that's the local reporting there. So here's the deal. This was a case of vandalism. However, the church was actually flying, and the name of the church, Uncommon Church, non-denominational. They were flying an Israeli flag on the church property, and then the Muslims showed up, all captured on video camera, and they were writing F Israel. That's what they were spray painting on the walls of the church. Now, the Council on American Islamic Relations says that all charges must be dropped because the activists were just engaging in their First Amendment rights. Well, I hate to break it to the Council on American Islamic Relations, but the First Amendment does not include any right to desecrate a church house or a synagogue. So CARE is now arguing that criticizing Israel is not a hate crime. No, but actually vandalizing a building and targeting a specific religion is, in fact, a hate crime. Now, look, Here on this program, we've been pretty clear about where I stand on hate crimes. I think all crime is hate crime. So there's really no reason to designate one crime over the other. I really don't. I've never believed that. But this is the law on the books in Texas. This is going to be the first time that graffiti has been prosecuted as a hate crime in the state of Texas. And they face up to 10 years in prison. And I say they get what they deserve. But the idea that these Muslims think that they're the true victims here, that's what is troubling, because there is absolutely no remorse. They don't feel like they did anything wrong. And the reason why is, when you look back on your Muslim history, the Islamic history, you will see a common denominator that there are never any peaceful takeovers of countries when it comes to Islam. Not a one. Not a one. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen here, folks. And nobody wants to talk about it. Seriously, nobody wants to talk about it. And it is a dangerous, dangerous thing that is happening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Tonight, coming up on Newsmax, we're going to have the very latest out of Portland, also on the shutdown. Layoffs now looming, and we'll get into that in the next hour. Also, some big news. Charlie Kirk, he wrote a foreword to a book that was just published by Newsmax. It's called Pagan Threat. The author, our good friend, Pastor Lucas Miles, he's been on the show before. And Charlie wrote the foreword to this book. The very last words that Charlie ever wrote were in this book. And Charlie said that Pagan Threat is a book that could save America. He said that you got to read it, you got to internalize it, and you got to share the book, The Plan to Stop Wokeism Infecting America. It is already an Amazon number one bestseller, and it's available wherever books are sold. However, Newsmax is offering you an opportunity to get the book free of charge. You can do that by going right now to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Millions are tuning into Newsmax on all major cable systems, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones, and they're getting Pagan Threat to read Charlie Kirk's final words. Again, go to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking to the director of a brand new film from CBN Films called The Oracles of God, exploring how the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament were written, preserved, and passed down as the most influential book in history. It is going to be fascinating. So I can't wait to talk to the director, Aaron Zimmerman, coming up after the break. Also, don't forget, head over to toddstearns.com and please consider making a donation to our efforts here. You can do that by clicking on the headline, How to Support the Todd Stearns Show, over at toddstearns.com. Stick around, everybody. Our last hour of Open Line Friday coming up, at least for this week, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns. Oh,
yeah. And happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. We have been talking for quite some time about this stirring, really since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, this stirring that is happening across the nation. And even before Charlie was killed, people, especially young people, were flocking back to churches in record numbers. We've never seen anything quite like this since the World War II era, where young people are searching for answers. And they're not satisfied with what the world is providing out there. As a matter of fact, there's a story out, and it's about the sale of Bibles. and Bible sales across America are soaring. I mean, the entire book industry is a little flat, and I will tell you that because, well, I have a new book out. And the sales are okay, but wow, the sale of Bibles, red hot. According to BookScan, book sales so far this year of Bibles, up 22%. That's a huge number. Many of those buyers are first-timers. They don't own a Bible, and they've never owned a Bible. And a growing number of Americans are saying that they're just curious, that they want to study, they want to learn. By the way, a Pew Research study found 28% of the country described themselves as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular when asked about religion. 9.7 million Bibles. That's how many Bibles were sold in 2019. Last year, that number rose to 14.2 million. And in the first 10 months of this year, the number already 13.7 million. What's going on? Well, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have a four-time Emmy-nominated director, Erin Zimmerman. Her project is going to be opening up in theaters nationwide November 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. It's called Oracles of God, The Story of the New Testament, and it's a new film from our friends at CBN Films. Erin, good to have you with us today.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be with you.
So I'm curious, are you surprised by those numbers? More young people going back to church, more Americans purchasing Bibles. What does that tell you?
I could not be more surprised. Look, the biggest surprise for me was that these were actual physical Bible sales, that they weren't going online to get it, that they were going to stores, putting down money, and buying physical Bibles. I think that's amazing. You know, I think starting with COVID, a lot of young people have gotten a lot of anxiety. You know, they had to be taken out of school. They didn't know how to deal with things. That brought a lot of anxiety. Doesn't help that the entire globe seems to be on fire right now. So it was already boiling. And I think Charlie Kirk's assassination really put it over the edge. Look, if you keep kids from something long enough, they're going to rebel and go looking for it.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've kept kids, we've kept the Bible out of schools, we've kept it out of society, we've said that's a terrible thing. And once you do that, you create an intrigue. So kids are eventually going to want to go see what that's about. And look, they've tried everything else for anxiety or for whatever they're feeling about the world. And I think this is just the most marvelous development.
Well, and I know your film is about the New Testament, but to borrow a page from the Old Testament, it's really a for such a time as this movie, I think, you know, exploring really the most influential book in history.
And, you know, we couldn't have planned this. I actually started this series. It's a 5-part series, and this is the second part. I started this in 2017, back when I lived in Israel. And I thought I'd be done in a few years, but then along came a pandemic and we couldn't film. And along came two days before we were supposed to start filming in 2023. October 7th happened in Israel where we were filming. The next year we came back to shoot again. And with the New Testament, you want to be up in the Sea of Galilee, you know, with Jesus and the apostles. And of course, that's where Hezbollah decided to shoot, you know, direct all of their missiles. So we've had quite a time. I never would have seen this going on so long, but God himself knew that this spiritual awakening was coming, and he delayed it until, exactly as you said, the right time.
Let's talk about the film. What are people going to learn? This is going to be in movie theaters nationwide. By the way, tickets on sale now at fathomentertainment.com. That's fathomentertainment.com. Erin, what are people going to see on the big screen?
Well, I think a lot of programs like The Chosen have done an amazing thing in resurrecting the story of Jesus, if you will, and reintroducing audiences to that. So now we've gone the next step. How did we get these wonderful stories that you've just seen? What happened after Jesus was crucified, after he rose, after he went to heaven? What happened with his apostles? How did we get from men who followed Jesus around and listened to him? And Jesus had to keep saying, oh, I keep talking and you don't understand. How did we get from there to these men who wrote these marvelous accounts that are still the world's best-selling books? So we go through the writers of the Gospels, the Apostle Paul, James, the brother of Jesus. We learn some interesting things. James, his own brother, never believed in Jesus during his lifetime. And yet, you know, a few books later, you see he's the pillar of the church. He's the first bishop of Jerusalem. Well, how did that happen? There are some stories outside the Bible that sort of explain what happened to James. And so we dramatize all of this for you and give you sort of the behind the scenes look at how everything was written.
Now, you've had a lot of experience doing this, and I understand that you've written and directed films all over the Middle East as well as Europe, and a four-time Emmy nominee as well for outstanding special class writing for the documentary, what is it, Made in Israel. So I'm just curious, this particular project, how special was this one for you to do?
Well, this was an interesting one. Usually I sort of find my topics myself. This one, God really gave it to me. And I know he did because I didn't want to do it at first. we all know when we feel God's leading us to do something, and I thought, this is not my area. I don't know theology. But it has been the time of my life, because I think one of the most special things that I've gotten to do, other than learning all this, learning how to defend, why do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Why do I believe the text is stable and not corrupt? Why do I believe that we have what we were intended to have? But just the joy of filming last year during the war with my Israeli crew and cast, and showing them, we dramatized everything from the birth of Christ to after the resurrection and everything in between. And so for them getting to see that story was just amazing, because there was a lot of brokenness after October 7th in the nation as a whole. And I had one crew member in particular, she was really weepy, and she didn't know if she was going to be able to come back to this production. And she said to me in the middle of it, "I don't know why, but this production gave me my joy back. I'm so grateful." And other actors were saying to me, you know, this is really a story about light. We love bringing light in this world. And even our actor who played Jesus, who is Jewish, said things about him, you know, atoning for the sins of the world. It was a real joy to sit down and tell these stories to them and have them be exposed to it. So it was a joy to go through that experience together.
All right. So, Aaron, again, let's talk about the Fathom event, because this will actually be in select theaters nationwide coming up in November.
Absolutely. And you can go to fathomentertainment.com, find your city, put in your zip code, find your city, find your theater, and purchase a ticket.
I love this.
And it's a three-night event. Yes.
It's going to be wonderful, and it's so beautifully made. That's one of the things I greatly respect. It's going to be amazing to see this up on the big screen.
You know, we did a test run on the big screen, sort of a tech rehearsal, and I'll say it myself, it does look beautiful. And you're going to see the very best of Israel. You're going to see some beautiful actors. You know, with this topic, there is a lot of theology, and there's a lot of information to absorb. And I'm really more of a storyteller, so I love to put in, whenever I can put in scenes with actors and kind of get the human parts of the story. For instance, like, you know, John, the Gospel of John was written some 30 years after the first three Gospels. So we think, well, why did John see those three and feel the need to write a fourth one? And the answer was really kind of funny to me when I found it out. So we try to find those little human touches in there.
Love this. Well, Aaron, congratulations, and thank you for putting this together. And I have no doubt that it's really going to inspire and encourage and probably challenge a lot of people out there.
Thank you, Todd. I really appreciate it, and I love talking to you today.
All right, Aaron Zimmerman, everybody. She is the director of Oracles of God, a new film from CBN. And again, you can get information on tickets. This is one of those events you want to bring, like, the whole church, right? Get the youth group, Sunday school group. It's what a great opportunity to get out there and become a part of this incredible experience happening at theaters across the nation. And if you'd like to get info on tickets, go to fathomentertainment.com. That's fathomentertainment.com. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. It is Open Line Friday. Whatever is on your mind, we're going to talk about. We'll be right back. Oh, boy. Well, now the NAACP's in Memphis.
They're holding a press conference. Every single person that is opposing the federal authorities being here in Memphis and in Portland, they are pro-criminal and pro-thug. Every single one of them. And they should be defunded. Every single one of them. By the way, President Trump announcing, and this coming out just a few moments ago, the president says that they're going to look at cutting all federal funding to the city of Portland after they arrested Nick Sorter, the conservative journalist who was covering the riot. So I say, let's do it. You know, let's stop threatening and start doing. These people aren't going to change, right? So, and here's, hear me on this, and this goes to Memphis, where the police chief and the command force reportedly told officers after the feds had left, after the feds had stepped out of the room, they reportedly told the Memphis police officers, the rank and file, not to do anything to help the federal authorities. Now, if that is true, and this needs to be investigated, and if this is true, then the police chief and the command force need to be removed. That's what needs to happen here. We've got to start playing hardball. The clock is ticking. We don't have a lot of time, and we have got to get this right. Too many things happening in this country, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got to get it done, and we've got to get it done now. And I will say this as we enter day three of the Schumer shutdown. And by the way, this is just coming in from CNN. Senate Democrats are expected to once again block the GOP funding bill. All right. It's on the Democrats. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now we're getting word, and this is from CNN. So you can imagine who's talking to them. Senator Mike Lee offered some colorful commentary about Democrats and the shutdown. It's going to harm them because Russ Vogt has been dreaming about this moment, preparing this moment since puberty. This is going to be the Democrats' worst nightmare. But now, you have some Republicans that are not too keen on Russ Vogt's threat to start dismantling and laying off government workers. Reading from CNN, by Thursday, House Speaker Mike Johnson offered a view of Vogt's motivations that were almost diametrically opposed to Lee. Russ does this reluctantly, the Louisiana Republican said. He takes no pleasure in this. And just in case Johnson had not been clear the first two times, he said, quote, that is not a fun task, and he is not enjoying that responsibility. Really? Why not? I think we all want a smaller government, right, Speaker Johnson? That is what we elected you guys to do, if I'm not mistaken. Meanwhile, Republicans are getting cold feet about the administration making good on its threat. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota was especially blunt. He said, there's the political ramifications that could cause backlash. I just don't like squandering that political capital. And he warned that laying people off could cost Republicans the moral high ground in a shutdown debate they should otherwise win. So is Susan Collins. She's saying that it would be totally unacceptable to target things like $18 billion in infrastructure projects in New York. Congressman Mike Lawler of New York agreed. And Senator Tom Tillis, that guy is just a flaming Democrat. Tom Tillis says the administration needs to be really careful with laying people off because that can create a toxic environment. And Senate Majority Leader John Thune has thrown up a caution flag. So I have a question for you, ladies and gentlemen, and you know by now most of the big political players either listen to or have their teams listen to this program, and they do like to hear your thoughts and opinions. Do you believe that President Trump should move forward now and start eradicating these bloated government agencies? Should the layoffs commence? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A March CNN poll showed that 62% of Americans feared the Doge cuts would go too far. 6 in 10 Americans in that poll disapproved of Doge. Well, I don't know who they're talking to, but I don't believe Doge went far enough. As a matter of fact, and hear me on this, I know this is an inconvenient truth for a lot of Republicans, but hear me on this. Not a single Doge cut has been codified by the House of Representatives. Not a one. So, God forbid, the Republicans screw this up and Democrats either get control of Congress or they win the presidency in 2028. All of the good that President Trump has done, it just vanishes. It's kaput. Poof, it's gone. It's concerning. It is really concerning. So, yet again, another reminder that we have got to keep the phones lit up on Capitol Hill, and we've got to make sure that our elected leaders are doing what we sent them to Congress to do in the first place. I mean, it really is that simple. 901-260-5926, our number on this open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. I have to tell you about my friends over at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now, they're the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that built this nation: faith, freedom, family, common sense. AMAC, by the way, is not just for senior citizens. It's for everybody, whether you're 19 years old or 90 years old. AMAC members get great benefits, deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs. By the way, I'm a member, and I love it. And I'm not an old fogey just yet. You're going to get also an awesome subscription to the AMAC magazine, one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. And the best part of all, you can join for as little as $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. Let me repeat that. $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. You can't even get a cup of coffee for that price. So go to amac.us/starns. Again, they set up a special landing page just for our audience, amac.us/starns, and join the fight to keep America strong. All right, we've got to take a break, going right to your phones for the remainder of the show. And don't forget, in the break, head over to toddstarns.com. Make a donation right now and help us as we grow this great, great program and this great ministry. We'll be right back, everybody. And welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Want to say hello to all of our great listeners in Largo, Florida, our great affiliate there, WBGS, that's AM 1610 in beautiful Largo, Florida. They say it's a great place to be, and it is. And they carry our show Monday through Friday, live, noon to 3 Eastern, and we certainly appreciate you guys. Now, look, here's the deal. A brand new affiliate, and we'd love to welcome you to the program. So if you are calling us from Largo, Florida, listening to us on WPGS, we're going to hook you up with a Todd Stern Show prize pack. All you have to do is call and get through the lovely Miss Cassie, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what's going on? Hello, Mike. All right.
Hello.
All right. Hello? Are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes. The fact that Congress hasn't codified any of the Doge cuts, to me, proves that we're being governed by the Uniparty. There's no benefit to being a Republican, because to me it's just the political ruling class.
Yeah, it's frustrating, Mike. I'll give you that. And you know, unfortunately, there's not another show in town. It's either the Republicans or the Democrats. So what we're going to have to do is keep working on getting those rhinos primaried and picking legitimate MAGA America First candidates out there. It's a tough process.
Well, the bigger problem here in Texas is I had a lady last week call from the Harris County Republican Party, and she's claiming that Governor Abbott's going to make Harris County ground zero for his reelection and so forth. And I pretty much gave her a piece of my mind. I did it tactfully and diplomatically. But the week before, there was a news report how the DEA had busted a meth ring operating out of Colony Ridge. 278 pounds of meth was seized. And Colony Ridge is the illegal alien community that is still in existence today. And all the politicians, I told Abbott, Patrick, Paxton, our two illustrious senators, Cornyn and Cruz, they all got their panties in a twist over Epic City. But when it came to Colony Ridge, it went from the drawing board to a fully populated illegal alien master plan community that is now a hub for the drug cartel. And nobody does anything about it. They just look the other way.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Mike. And we've got to focus on holding these Republicans accountable. I mean, that's ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, that's the issue. Mike, I got to run, my friend. It is good hearing from you. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Larry in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Well, right now it's pretty weather down here. I know you're busy. God, I'm just afraid that the Republicans, they're just going to cave. I mean, they're big rhinos. Like I said, John Thune, a couple of these guys. President Trump has taught them how to fight if they will just do it. I don't understand. I'm concerned the Republicans always blow it. I really feel like they'll blow this. They need to stay strong, but I don't think they will. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, it's Larry, this is the challenge here, because they're going along with Trump's playbook right now, and it's working. I mean, right now everything is working like a charm, and you've got Russ Vogt over at the office of OMB, and he's out there dangling the carrot, and that carrot is roughly 300,000 federal jobs. Now, are they serious about cutting these jobs right now? I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say no. I think they're using that to force the Democrats to get these changes through and to vote for the clean CR. That's not to say that maybe down the road they might eliminate some of these, you know, some of these government jobs. But I think right now we're dealing with a negotiating tactic or a negotiating carrot, and it's the jobs right now, I hope.
Well, I agree. But they just need to stay strong. But I just don't feel like they're going to do it. They're going to have to protect themselves and their jobs. But they need to do what's right for the American people. And, you know, if these are non-essential jobs, what are they doing having jobs in here?
Well, it's a fair point. And as we've said, again, if you're not essential, your job should not be there, period. I mean, that's pretty obvious to me. Larry, God bless you, and thank you for listening to the program. Also want to give a shout-out to our good buddy, Chip, who is the owner of KHTW in Lumberton, Texas. Great people out in those parts of Texas, and we love all of our great listeners in Lumberton as well. KHTW, our terrific affiliate out there, and we want to give them a shout-out today. All right, I want to go back to Caroline Leavitt just earlier today. She was ripping the city of Portland a new one and just blasting city officials for targeting conservative journalists out there as Antifa wages war on the streets of a once beautiful city. Let's take a listen.
On another matter, despite the Democrat shutdown, President Trump's efforts to make America safe again continue. President Trump believes that American cities should be the safest places on earth, and he is committed to making this a reality. We've already seen that President Trump successfully made D.C. safe again in only a few weeks. That same crime crackdown will continue to happen in cities across the country and is happening in Portland, Oregon. President Trump will end the radical left's reign of terror in Portland once and for all. The president has directed Secretary Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland and any ICE facilities under siege from attack by Antifa and other left-wing domestic terrorists. What's been allowed to happen in Portland, and we saw disturbing video footage of this last night, this is not peaceful protesting. This is left-wing anarchy that has been destroying this great American city for years, leaving police officers battered, citizens terrorized, and business properties damaged. Since early June alone, Antifa terrorists have laid siege to the ICE field office in South Portland. These radical left-wing lunatics have violently breached the ICE facility by using a stop sign as a battering ram, hurled explosives and other projectiles at law enforcement, repeatedly assault and dox officers, berate their law-abiding neighbors, and have even rolled out a guillotine in front of the ICE facility. And more people should be reporting on that. President Trump has sent federal law enforcement to protect federal assets and arrest those fueling this violence. Just last night, we saw an extremely troubling incident where conservative journalist Nick Sorter was captured on video being taken into custody by the Portland police after he was ambushed by Antifa and was defending himself from these assaults. But instead of arresting these violent mob members night after night after night, who are ravaging this community, the police arrested a journalist who was there trying to document the chaos, and everyone in this room should be extremely concerned about that. The Department of Justice spoke with that journalist this morning, and they will be launching a full investigation into his arrest. This incident is part of a troubling trend in Portland where left-wing mobs believe they get to decide who can visit and live in their city. It is not their city. It is the American people's city, and President Trump is going to restore that.
Well, I'm excited to hear that news. And again, that is Caroline Leavitt coming from the White House press briefing today, and she is fired up. By the way, the new intel coming in just moments ago, Portland police chief holding a press conference out there, and the Portland police chief now says that they are looking at removing one of these giant fences that the feds erected to protect the ICE facility. You can't climb these fences. So the police chief says, well, that's a hazard, and we're going to tear down that fence. If they do that, it is going to expose the federal agents to this massive Antifa mob. I'm telling you, folks, you got to start going after City Hall. That's what they're going to have to do in Portland. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Have you heard about this new Hollywood star? And she is on the rise. I mean, she is an up-and-coming Hollywood star. She is what already has almost 50,000 Instagram followers, may have more than that, because she's just literally exploding on the scene here. And it turns out her name is Tilly Norwood. Dylan, are you familiar with the lovely Tilly Norwood?
I don't think so. What is she in?
Well, she's from London, by the way, and I'm not sure she's actually been in any shows just yet. But she's generating a lot of attention, and the reason why is that she is an AI performer. So she's not real. She's fake. She's like made up. Oh. A robot.
This is interesting.
So Sean Astin, who is the just elected president of SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild, that's her union, tells Variety that people are really kind of curious about her because she was created by a company called Particle 6. And they are now interested in actually getting her a talent agent. So much like you would go out and get an agent to get you on TV shows, so now Particle 6, which created this online woman, says that they are hopefully going to get her an agent so that she can actually start starring in movies and a theater. And well over 50,000. Look her up on Instagram. Her numbers may be even higher than that now. Anyway, Sean Astin says, I appreciate the stories capture the imagination of people, but it's not the first shoe to drop here. We had a 118-day strike fighting very hard to put AI provisions and protections in place. The teams at SAG and AFTRA have been in this fight for longer than people might realize. As technology continues to advance at light speed, we're going to meet the challenges. So Sean Astin, who stars in Stranger Things, by the way, said they're going to be addressing this with the Association of Talent Agents And that's the trade organization that represents the big guys, WME, UTA, CAA. So we'll see how all this plays out. But the movie stars and the actresses and actors are freaking out. They're calling them synthetic actors. That's
going to be a new derogatory term in like the next 5 to 10 years.
He's don't go see that movie. It's a synthetic. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's not good at all. So there you have it. There's a lot of outcry here from regular, like, human actors. Tilly Norwood facing backlash from people like Lucas Gage and others. Again, this coming from Variety. And they're angry about it. To those who have expressed anger over the creation of my AI character, Tilly Norwood, she is not a replacement for a human being, but a creative work, a piece of art. Like many forms of art before her, she sparks conversation, and that in itself shows the power of creativity. This is from Eileen Vandervelden, who is the creator. She's sort of like Dr. Frankenstein, you know. Weird. She's the one who posts all the messages on Tilly Norwood's Instagram page. She goes on to say that I see AI not as a replacement for people, but as a new tool, a paintbrush, just as animation, puppetry, CGI open fresh possibilities without taking away from live acting. Those shows creep me out. I forget there was a movie a long time ago. Was it Polar Express? It was one of those weird movies where they had sort of like the fake human actors, and it was all in the eyes. You could tell by the eyes.
Yeah, it was Tom Hanks that played all the characters.
That's it.
Yeah.
Movie creeped me out.
It creeped me out when I figured out that that's what they were doing.
There's something not right about that.
It's a weird movie.
It is, right?
But you have to watch it. It's like a classic.
You got to watch it. It's kind of like, what is it, A Christmas Story?
Yes.
You got to
watch it. That one's real.
That is true. At least they're humans, and it was a better movie.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to take a break here. Would you watch a movie or a TV show where the cast were made up of AI characters? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Well, looks like we just blew up another four or five narco terrorists. This happening off the coast of Venezuela. Well done. Well done, military. Drugs blown up too, apparently. That's good news. Hey, what's going on with Netflix? There's been a lot of controversy, and I touched on this yesterday. It's only getting worse for Netflix. Now their stock is on track to end the week down 5%. Elon Musk calling for users to cancel their subscriptions. And all of this is over the programming, especially for kids, that is really like a Trojan horse for the whole transgender alphabet mafia agenda, if you know what I'm talking about. It's not so much the L's and the G's and the B's as it is the T's and everybody else that comes after that. What is it, 78 net genders now? And then they've just introduced something called monosexuality. Soon there will be something called stereosexuality. You can have it stereo or mono. I don't know. Anyway, Elon Musk is leading the charge here, urging people to cancel their Netflix subscriptions. He's accusing Netflix of pushing a transgender message into children's shows. And that's a problem. Look, I think as a parent, you're responsible for monitoring what your kid watches. But again, if you see a cartoon, oh, there's a little cartoon, and it's colorful, and you have things exploding on the screen, all these beautiful colors and whatnot, and you're like, okay, that's cool. So you set little Sally down, and little Sally is watching, you know, what you think is an innocent little cartoon, and by the time dinner arrives, little Sally wants to go by the name Carl and is growing a mustache. And you're like, wait, what just happened here? But it's kind of like that, what is it, the gumball fentanyl? Remember when there was down in Florida, there was a case where they were tainting the gumballs with fentanyl and giving it to the kids. And the kids were like, oh, it's a gumball. And they went, you know, you think it's an innocent gumball. And the next thing you know, your kid's, you know, a drug addict. So that's what Elon is upset about here. And by the way, Elon, one of his kids is actually transgender, going through all of that stuff. So Elon is telling people, cancel Netflix for the health of your kids. And a lot of people are doing that. And you got to just, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you got to watch what the kids are looking at on TV. You just can't take your eye off of that. It's not good at all. So I appreciate what Elon's doing here. And we got to crack down. The idea that you're trying to create products and programs for small children, we're talking about 3-4 years old, like, for example, Jurassic World. They got full-on teenage lesbian kiss scenes going on. I mean, nobody wants to see that. Well, probably teenage boys do, but they shouldn't. And that's the whole point. What in the world are they doing over there at Netflix? Bunch of perverts. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that for you next week. It is going to be a wild weekend across America. A lot happening. College football. It's going to be great. My Tennessee Volunteers. Tell you what, I'm feeling good about things this season. I really am. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. Be sure to watch. We're going to have the very latest coming out of Portland, Oregon. Also, the latest on this Venezuelan situation where we just blew up some narco terrorists. Hey, don't forget, ToddStearns.com. Head on over to the website. Make a donation. Go read our stories. Get out there. Have a great weekend, everybody. You be safe, America. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.